so on a sunny Thursday afternoon here at Leinster House. Welcome to RTE's Your Politics podcast. I'm Áine Lawler. With me, my colleagues Paul Cunningham, Mary Regan and Micheál Lehane. And like I was saying, it's a gorgeous day. We're
beautiful.
Back after the St. Patrick's break. But there hasn't been any sunny harmony in the row over speaking rights, has there? Who wants to kick off on that?
Yeah, no, that's going to come to a head on Tuesday. And that, this was always going to happen. It's happening perhaps with a little more forcefulness than the opposition are comfortable with. They're saying a contested motion like this would always be debated in the chamber. That's not going to happen. So at 3 o'clock on Tuesday, this time all hell will break loose because it could be the final act in this massive controversy that has really stalled the Dáil, the 34th Dáil, since it got underway. And what you're going to have are those new speaking slots for the group effectively led by Michael Lowry. And it will also include opposition TDs on Wednesdays and Thursdays, where there's an 8 minute speaking slot for them. There's also extra time now during questions to ministers and extra time during private members' motions as well. Opposition say the lines are being blurred and something is dropped. It's not a massive thing, but on Wednesdays now, you won't have those written questions to the Taoiseach, which was used in particularly by PBP as a forum to raise things. So that now is only happening on Tuesday. So there is a chunk of opposition time there, I think, that has been lost.
And very often, I mean, just to be a bit dreary and then we'll get back to the drama of it all, but those written questions and those Taoiseach's question slots, they're actually really useful, aren't they? If you want to follow the detail on an awful lot of things. They may not make the headlines a lot of the time, but it is really, really important for drawing out and just getting, you know, a sense from the Taoiseach about policy in the various areas that have been questioned.
Yeah, and accountability as well, you could argue, you know, and as you kind of alluded to at the start, the seasons have literally changed, you know, and the Dáil speaking row is still going on. I mean, we've gone from winter into spring almost, you know, it'll be summer, it will be upon us. And I don't think anyone would have expected this row to drag on so long, but also to run so deep and, you know, really, you know, remains to be seen sort of what exactly will happen next week on Tuesday. You know, expect the opposition to kick up quite a fuss. But at the same time, you know, how long will the remnants of this bitterness continue into this Dáil? Because it was certainly a bad footing for this Dáil to start off on.
But even if it is, as you say, Mary, sort of a line in the sand come Tuesday afternoon and the government uses its majority, it doesn't result in instantaneous change because the selection of committees takes time, committee chairs, the D'Hondt system. I mean, it still could be after Easter by the time the committee's up and running. Some people are saying May. You know, the Dáil goes into recess in mid-July, so you could have two months of committees and then we're back on the jolly holidays again.
From an election that happened in November and a government formed in January and you're now looking at May for committees to be up and running and the full functioning of this place to get up and running.
And this is where the opposition criticism, Sinn Féin and Patrick Tobin in particular, about a do-nothing Dáil, a Dáil that's only sat for 17 days. It's been, you know, unsat, arisen, whatever the appropriate verb is, for longer than it's been sitting and doing its work. The government, of course, saying to opposition, that's on you guys, and you guys could have been this side of the chamber, no problem.
And also pointing out that the whips do agree the times when it's not sitting. And I suppose there was a government formed, but it is the fact when they are here, the fact that they didn't get committees up and running. And there are 14 bills on the order paper, 11 government bills and 3 opposition ones. So there is work to be done. Some of them don't need committee stage, so I suppose they could progress. It does seem a bit strange that when they came back this week, it was just statements. Mm-hmm. That said, the opposition are often pushing for statements. But until this is resolved, there doesn't seem to be a great urgency in government to pass legislation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the legislation wasn't discussed this week.
No.
And without the committees, the proper work of legislation, unless Micheál Martin was saying they'd be quite happy to go ahead and just have votes.
But they don't need committees on some of it. I mean, there are things there, aren't they? Do you remember, like, there was that debate that you couldn't have the election until you had really important things like the mental health bill and the defamation bill passed? Like, since they've returned, yes, they're there, they're ready to rock, they're on the order paper, but there's been no movement on them.
I mean, just one example of that was up in the Shannon last night, where it came down to a opposition bill in relation to scoliosis to try and ensure that there is obligations on the HSE to report back in relation to children who have months, if not years, waiting for that essential surgery, so that the information is valid and there's someone directing it, a bit like what happened to cystic fibrosis. So it isn't being opposed by the government. It was drafted by the independent Senator Michael McDougall. So that is advancing. There was a 2-hour debate yesterday. So as Micheál said, some legislation's going through, but nothing on the scale that would be happening if the committees were up and running.
But as you say, Mary, what's been really interesting, and maybe this gets resolved next week, maybe it drags on for a while longer, but what's been really interesting is so far in this thought, however little or however much it has or hasn't done, the level of acrimony, the rubbing up against each other between government and opposition, there's a different note, isn't there, than the last thought?
Yeah, I mean, particularly because it's so soon after an election, you know, I mean, the election ought to have resolved all the acrimony and, you know, TDs and would be finding their feet and new parties finding their feet. But then we had, particularly between Micheál Martin and Sinn Féin in the Dáil yesterday over the issue of housing and again over the issue of the speaking Dáil, speaking row, Micheál Martin was sort of accusing Sinn Féin, you know, saying this is all about their social media strategy. And he was accusing them of sort of feeding off the Trump playbook, saying, you know, Mary Lou MacDonald was on Instagram signing what he was saying looked like an executive order signing her party's private member's motion on housing. And, you know, he's really accusing the government of being or the opposition of being disingenuous. That's his point of attack. Mm-hmm. And it's very bitter between Micheál Martin and Mary Lou MacDonald at the moment. Bit of a contrast with Simon Harris, the Taoiseach this morning in Leaders' Questions, you know, on particularly on the issue of therapies for children with additional needs, kind of putting his hands up and saying we have to do better and being more.
This was the fund that was announced and nothing was spent.
It's extraordinary. This really is an extraordinary story when you think about it. In October 2017, what Ian Rabbitt was describing as a game-changing fund for kids who'd been on a list for vital therapies for a very long time. This was going to be a quick intervention
that
would change things. It was a big issue and there was €8 million to an urgent €8 million to do something quick. And 17 months on, not a penny, not one red cent, in the words of Piers Doherty, has been paid out. And on top of that, 2 days before the local elections in 2024, Ian Rabbitt made an announcement in Donegal with Charlie McConnell, where some parents and children were present, that it was on the way, that it was very near again, but it hasn't happened. Now, Simon Harris did put his hands up and say, you can't defend this. At the same time, it is something that was on his watch for several months, and it's something that left parents hanging, which makes it more cruel, I suppose, given that these were things they waited for a long time that they thought were definitely on the way. How could they not be on the way if a minister announced it and you're standing at that announcement and yet it didn't happen?
There was an echo of that up in the Shannon, in which there was much discussion in relation to €19.1 million, which had been announced by the predecessor of Jennifer Carr McNeill in relation to scoliosis care. There had been an internal HSE investigation into what happened. It did seem to have been dispersed, but not dispersed in the manner in which the senators had been told. And so they're now looking for an investigation into the investigation, just to be absolutely certain as to where the money which had been earmarked, whether it went where it was supposed to go.
And that €8 million, by the way, in relation to that fund, the same sum, €8 million, is what the government had spent defending legal challenges from, you know, children who are long overdue and waiting their assessment of need. And they, as we said, Simon Harris kind of put his hands up in relation to that this morning and more or less, you know, accepted that this happened. But there's a PQ from a parliamentary question from Sinn Féin in relation to it. And in response to that, the government really blamed the HSE, saying that because of the additional administrative work involved and the huge volume of applications, the HSE had to revise the anticipated timeline for assessing those applications. But obviously they didn't have any delays in presenting the photo opportunity with the children and the ministers up in Donegal.
I think those kind of stories land really badly, though, with people. They're the kind of stories that travel outside the walls of this place, and they really do land in the real world, don't they?
They do. And I suppose if you look at the wider problem of the assessment of needs, which was raised today again, I mean, and that's the assessment that children need before they are entitled to services and vital therapies from the state, that you 41,000 on that list still. And the Taoiseach is saying it remains one of the biggest problems and legislation might be needed to address it. But I mean, what does legislation mean? So many promises have been made and yet a solution seems so far off in relation to that.
It seems like, sorry, just one last point, they're sort of softening up, you know, families to change the assessment of needs by legislation. So because of a court ruling, children have to get, I can't remember the exact number of hours, but it's 30 hours a therapist spends on an assessment. And the government is now saying that that 30 hours is very onerous, that it's therapists are using up all their time to carrying out assessments instead of treating children. So it sounds like they might be sort of beginning the process of watering down the amount of time given to a child for an assessment of need.
Watch that space. And another area where there was grim news this week was on housing. Of course, the big issue in the election campaign, the row that's going on between Sinn Féin and the government over who knew what when about that 40,000 target for last year that wasn't met. But even more depressing, I thought, David Murphy's reports this week on those central bank forecasts. We're not going to hit 40,000 this year. It'll be 2027, won't it, before we start doing that. In the meantime, you have rents and house prices going inexorably up.
And it goes on. I mean, I was just looking at the last three stories we had in our news system in relation to housing. Housing Minister Brown says it's very clear that apartment delivery has collapsed and radical thinking is needed to change this. Social Democrats saying the government is on track to deliver less than 20% of the 5,000 apartments promised under the Croí na Cóinne scheme. And then another one, the number of commencement notices lodged for new homes fell by fell to 1,017 in February from 1,178 in January. I mean, it just seems to be relentless, the issues, the difficulties. We're well aware of what they are, and yet what we're not seeing is a momentum which would give you some sense of hope that change is coming anytime soon.
A lot of talk, though. Radical action is the words that James Brown, the housing minister, was using this morning. The Taoiseach yesterday talking about the need to provide certainty for investors.
The first quarter of the year. It's almost over.
Yeah, so it's all talk.
You know, all of these targets and, you know, deliveries, it all depends. You have to do them in particular quarters. And if you're not getting started in the first quarter of the year, good luck with the rest of the year. Where's the housing czar that the Housing Commission recommended ages ago? And the government's been talking about it since. Yeah. New minister's been talking about it. But there doesn't have, well, have you seen a sense of urgency?
No, and I suppose everything comes down to the review of the Housing for All strategy, doesn't it? And whenever that's finished and published, that is probably when the new big ideas are going to come.
And the National Planning Framework as well. We don't have that yet, do we?
No.
And we still have Irish Water saying it can only deliver 35,000 homes a year. So you might be talking about 42 or 43, but if you haven't got it serviced, zoned and serviced, you know, you're not going anywhere.
But there does look to be this new problem has emerged in the middle of the current strategy, doesn't it, around apartments, that something has happened in the around the apartment building, which is causing a huge difficulty now and makes the 50,000 a year target seem even more ambitious.
So against that, this argument about who knew what when, about the 40,000 last year and it wouldn't be delivered, and that the government, according to...
Are you going to make a song and a dance about this, as Micheál Martin accused the opposition?
It's not a great just tune, is it?
Just ignore him.
That is key, isn't it? I mean, the government defence is weak. What they're saying is that the Department of Finance analysis was based on central bank figures that had been too conservative in the past.
No, but he went on, Micheál Martin, to say that, citing that others were saying the numbers were up when being asked to explain the 40,000 figure, he quoted Euroconstruct. So I went back and had a look at what Euroconstruct was saying in June of last year, and they were saying a maximum of 36,000. That's still 4,000 away from 40,000, which has been talked of in the election. Almost, I mean, there is just a sticky sense to it, and that's why the opposition is still coming back at it again and again.
And I think, regardless of the exact 40,000 or so figure, the overall sense was being given, certainly in the run-up to the general election being called and during the campaign, that, you know, they were beginning to turn the corner, that completions were getting there, and, you know, this was turning, and now we're the other side of an election, and the sense is that it's sort of almost going backwards again, you know.
Leading the opposition to claim that the electorate were hoodwinked, and the government saying still you weren't able to come up with, you know, persuade.
Yeah, well,
that is
the question: were the
better.
Election, were the electorate given the wrong impression, or did Sinn Féin merely fail to, you know, strike in what was an open goal on housing and drive home their message on housing to an electorate that was looking for a solution to the crisis?
It is going to be interesting to see how long, though, can the Taoiseach start referring back to Labour's plan for National Construction Company, kind of as part of his defence for not telling the people about that Department of Finance warning in October before the election began.
And there was also the issue of Donald Trump's joke in the White House and the Taoiseach's reaction very much being raised by the opposition as well this week, Mary.
Yeah, you know, like after Micheál Martin's visit to the Oval Office, the analysis seemed to be rather favourable as to how he did and how he performed. But as we discussed here last week, that seemed to have been based on a very sort of low expectation. And there was just a sort of sigh of relief. And then we get into the Dáil returning yesterday, and the opposition are really picking apart, you know, his mission to the White House. And also following on from Conor McGregor visiting the Oval Office on St. Patrick's Day of all days. So yeah, the opposition on many issues, on the housing, the sniggering, as I think it was Sinn Féin accused him of sniggering on housing when he was in the Oval Office.
I just think it's overblown. I mean, like, Donald Trump, you know, who knows what he's going to say, and something comes up and he makes, you know, that's a good problem. And you head into this territory where it's slightly lighthearted. I don't think it was
some
major offence.
And he did come back to the issue of housing.
The damage was done. Yes. The damage was done. He chuckled nervously and he didn't defend his goal in that moment. He should have had the laugh, said it's a good problem, and then said, but in that moment, it had the qualification, had to go in there.
But was the commentary to Sinn Féin?
He had said it in the beginning. He says, look, you know, we need to build more. We need to do it faster. We need to do it.
Yeah.
No, that was the question. And then he came, was it not?
No, afterwards he got back in with a question.
Okay, he came back to it later. Yeah, he did come back to it later and talk about it.
Well, that was, he was asked about what was your priority and he gave it. Yeah.
Oh, he did do that. I mean, but it was a misstep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Sinn Féin weren't there. And that's given it. What Donald Trump was saying about Irish America and the way that they voted and how much support they have from Irish America, you know, the Taoiseach clearly inferring, wasn't he, in the thought that, you know, you didn't have the guts to go and find out maybe you wouldn't be as welcome as you used to be.
The courage and the guts, yeah. So that's the charge. And I suppose that provides a certain defence for him if that comes up again. It was interesting that it was only Sinn Féin who raised the laugh or the sniggering, as they called it. The other parties focusing in instead on the
numbers.
Department of Finance warning from October. Mm.
And Donald Trump, of course, continuing with his love of tariffs and this big EU defence meeting going on today as America basically pulls out of its backing for Europe. The EU is changing around us and the economy is looking like it's going to get a very big hit soon. The Departments of Finance have been running the numbers on this, haven't they? And they look a bit grim.
They look a bit grim, but I think the difficulty with Donald Trump, the Donald, is that you just don't know. I mean, he said he was going to do stuff against Canada and Mexico, then he stopped, then he put it back in again, then he changed it. So he's clearly been ramping up the expectation that the European Union is going to get hit. It was notable.
Well, we'll find out on April 2nd, won't we?
But then it would be phased. Europe is not going to respond until the middle of April. So that once again creates a 2-week period where it's possible to work out, is there a solution? It was interesting on the steel issue that the UK didn't do reciprocal tariffs. Mm-hmm. They sort of been looking at what's happening in the United States and saying, okay, so you want to build up your industry? Okay, we'll hang back a little bit and see what happens. So I suppose the Europeans have to, or the European unions have to ask themselves just exactly how hard do you want to go in? Do you want to give them this little victory and say, okay, or are you going to go toe-to-toe every time you do something, we're going to hit something else like whack-a-mole? And it's up in the air. So even if people are running numbers, I just don't think we actually know where we're at the moment to be able
Simon
to give
Harris
any seriousness to
more or less
to
admitted
us.
That in the Dáil this morning. He said, you know, in any sort of contingency planning for a sort of trade war, that, you know, he said there are known unknowns, as he put it, you know. So
Donald Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
So chaos is the only certainty.
For many more seasons to come, I think.
Yes. Also changing around us, though, the EU, and we had the Commission unveiling their plan for how to turn this announced 800 billion euro investment in European defence, how to turn that into real spending. A lot of disagreement in Europe, within Europe, about how all that money should be spent. Also questions about the divisions between different countries. Mm-hmm. Spain, not particularly keen on this rearmament proposal. And then you've got some of the people who would be involved in any Ukraine defence, like the UK, who are outside the EU. So there's nothing simple there. But the EU is changing around us, Paul.
It's true. I mean, like, Europe lives in crisis. I mean, there was a financial crisis, and then there was a refugee crisis, and then there was a COVID crisis. So there is cycles of crisis, and this most certainly is one. And the trajectory is pretty clear. If you're looking at what took place in Germany this week, they're bending their beloved spending rules to ensure not just on defence, but also on infrastructure, and German infrastructure is creaking.
That was an article of faith. It's really hard to explain to people who don't remember the German rigidity of past financial crises before the big one in 2011. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And this was it. I think it was... the Berlin correspondent for the Irish Times was relating to
Derek Scally.
Derek Scally talking about the Schwabian housewife. That was how it was viewed, that you know, this type of woman was indicative of the state, who would look after the pennies and the pounds would look after themselves. And now suddenly they're breaking the debt rule and they're going to go in and go big on infrastructure and defence. It's a huge thing. And the party which is doing it is Angela Merkel's party, the party which during the financial crisis was saying there had to be strict adherence to these rules. Rules which are now being broken. But we learned that before, because when Ireland will remember that when we were in the middle of the financial crisis and Germany saying we had to abide by the rules, we were pointing back 10 years. And what do you know, Germany and France have broken the rules because it suited them.
And Micheál, we won't be borrowing from this EU fund as the current government position, isn't that right? Because they say the government finances are healthy enough and we have our plan for increasing military spending to level 2 by 2028. Is that right?
Yeah, but so many questions about that. And I mean... the real test of that comes in the budget, isn't it? Whether you have an additional 300 million, people like Carl Berry said, that's when you know if the government are serious about even that plan. And then, of course, there are the other bits which will generate the political heat, whether you see that triple lock, new changes, whether that legislation goes before a committee before the summer recess.
Yeah, and the government have been talking a tough game on that. So that's another one that's likely to be very controversial with the opposition.
Yeah, and it seems needless in some ways politically. I mean, given that the bigger bit and the bigger test of their strength in being able to defend and be able to get things like radar and defend the skies as well, ultimately comes down to what checks are going to be signed around budget time. But the triple lock will generate the most political heat, I think.
Yeah, just on that, I think that's absolutely right. Judge them on the money, on the spend, rather than the rhetoric.
Also the question of who you buy from. I mean, Thomas Byrne was talking about going, there was a contract with the Pentagon, wasn't there, in terms of developing the air services.
Yeah.
And again, now, post-Donald Trump, you have Europe saying we want two-thirds of any military spending, defence spending, to be invested in Europe and not in the United States, because there's all kinds of fears about capabilities.
The Defence Force have purchased drones from Israel in the past, haven't they? But I don't think that will happen.
Well, it wasn't full. There was part of the technology was.
Okay. Yeah. But he's the one missing in Sudan.
And we're likely to hear a lot more about the occupied territories, Bill, aren't we, with this Israeli resumption.
And it came up today
bombing in Gaza.
In Leaders' Questions, once again, with Catherine Connolly in relation to what the government is doing. And it got really hot and heavy with the Thornish saying, I'm sick of my position being misrepresented by you. And she was saying, you're talking about it, but you're not doing it. We have protests nearly every day, sometimes big, sometimes small, but it's a constant presence. And the government still has to make up its mind on it.
Yeah, when the government first gave the signal, when that day the Fianna Fáil agreed to go into government, Micheál Martin spoke about the need for a second stage debate in the Dáil and the new piece of legislation. Now Simon Harris in recent times has been speaking about committee. So does it even go back a stage further, back to a pre-legislative kind of scrutiny, which of course would mean that it would be a very, very long route.
Because they say, the government says that the bill which had been drafted by Francis Black had been assessed by the Attorney General, was going to had too many holes to reform. The thing they had to do is go back to the beginning.
So they're riding both horses on this. They're saying, I mean, that a new piece of legislation is necessary and that will take time, but that they're still committed to it.
In the meantime, the bombing goes on and the UN headquarters hit in an airstrike overnight. Let's, before we go, talk a little bit about the presidential election. You mentioned Conor McGregor in the White House for St. Patrick's Day.
We mentioned you 2 episodes ago as well. Yep.
Stop it.
Still
sorry,
holding
that's
on
bad for the microphone. These microphones distort a bit and I shouldn't have said that loud. I mean it though. Michael McDowell wouldn't say no, would he?
But he says no to nothing and then says no to everything
Francis
in the end,
Black
doesn't
wouldn't
he?
Say no.
Yeah.
Linda Martin would say yes.
Francis Black was perceived by some of the assessments to be sort of...
She's the favourite, I think, now.
Co-runner. She was joint favourite. Yeah. I think when Mairéad McGuinness and I bumped into her and she said, well, I'm not ruling anything out. So that means she's in.
Talk of Sean Kelly as well, isn't there?
Yes, another person who's...
The MEP, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he said that he's considering it, or that, you know, the competition in Fine Gael will be tough, but Sean Kelly is one potential, and considering the big vote he got in Ireland South in the European elections, you know, it's...
Simon Coveney's name being mentioned. Would he be ponderous enough?
Yeah, we had Simon Harris as well adding this week, didn't he, that there wouldn't be a joint government candidate. There's been a lot of talk about a combined left candidate.
Yes.
But there won't be, apparently, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will be running separate campaigns. It'd be interesting to see how they campaign against each other.
I mean, there would be game over then, wouldn't it?
It's the only thing they have now to distinguish themselves from each other, you know, and that's... They'll take every opportunity both sides will have to.
And we'd expect Sinn Féin to put in again. They haven't had easy presidential elections, but we'd expect them to...
pretty harrowing for them, haven't they? Yeah.
So we expect nonetheless, their MO is United Ireland, so we expect someone to come forward who can articulate that.
All right. Well, we leave it there, as I say, in the sunshine. We're going out to enjoy a little bit of it before it's gone. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you want to get in touch, just email yourpolitics@rte.ie.